News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 25th of October, Anno Domini 2003, and you are listening to Soundbites. We're here straight up till 6 o'clock this evening, bringing you news, views, your calls. I couldn't think of anything that rhymed with ooze that was clean after that. So we'll be doing that in just a few moments. And who are we? Well, I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Ben Turchin.
And Ben is our producer today. He is the man who is in control for the day. We don't have him on the cam today. We have Steve has his cam up. Dave has the other cam with him. Dave is somewhere three steps ahead of the law in the Midwest. I'm not quite sure where he is, but I don't believe we'll be seeing him today.
Probably a little chilly on his motorcycle.
Yeah, he probably is a little bit. Well, if he's hit the Midwest by now, he's all right. It's only on the East Coast.
What does he say? You never drive faster than the temperature.
Yeah, I know. Which means he's walking the bike here in Rochester today. But if you're taking a look at the show cam page, you're seeing last week's show, the last thing on the left there, and then the new bike cam. The bike cam is up for... Steve's got that up and running in the place where usually we would show Ben, but we don't have Ben on cam. Sorry, Ben. We'll get you over here later.
I'm not much to look at anyway. So
he's got a face for radio, ladies and gentlemen.
That's what Craig said until they started calling in for him.
I know. You know, we made him a star. We made Rob a star. I don't know, Ben. You could be next. But we're going to start, I think, with the news. So give us a call. But we're going to start with the news, and we're going to start with, let's see, how about Steve?
All right.
Or not.
Choke me up.
Well, the big news this week in the Apple world is the unleashing of Panther. Yeah. Last night at 8 o'clock local time, all around the world apparently at 8 o'clock local time, stores could officially sell Panther. And Panther is the code name or nickname now for the next generation of Macintosh OS X, version 10.3. This is the fourth major release of OS X, adding 150 new features, a revolutionary new interface design. One of the big issues they added was that the Finder is now more user-centric. One of the confusions a lot of people had in the Mac OS is its multi-user ability. And even if you are the only user, multi-user is still there. So your user folder is where your documents live. Now, in my house, we use the multi-user ability frequently. You know, mom, dad, and each of the kids has their own account and their own separate file space so that you don't have to worry about, you know, my five-year-old accidentally deleting my checkbook.
Right.
So it's
have to worry about when you get to use the computer.
Right, which I never do anymore. Yeah, there's that the real brief time between when Matthew goes to bed and then when Shirley comes back from putting him to bed.
Yeah. That sometimes 11 minutes, sometimes 45 minutes.
Something
time
like that,
spend,
yeah. Excuse me. The other major new feature is called Exposé, and that addresses the problem that that we've come to be annoyed by in current computers, and that's the multiple overlapping windows. It's very common now for people to have many windows open at once. Your web browser window, you might have two or three web pages open. You might have a couple of email windows open. So you have all these windows open, and you can't really tell which one is which and what belongs to where. So this new feature in OS 10.3 called Exposé, or Expose, will allow you to expose the windows of a specific application, or it will automatically minimize every window on screen to fit in the screen and allow you to highlight what applications it's from. So it's very easy to switch back and forth from application to application, even when you have a lot of windows open. And the last piece that it does is allow you to quickly get to the desktop. A lot of people keep files on their desktop that they want to get to frequently, especially for email. You want to email this file to someone. Well, your email window is probably blocking your desktop, so you can't find where that file went.
Right.
So being able to hit a key on the keyboard or a mouse to a corner of the screen hides all the windows out of your way. Then you can get to that file on your desktop and easily put it into a message. The upgrade price, looks like I have a British news release here. The upgrade price is £99. actually, I'm sorry, that's not the upgrade price. That's the full retail price is £99. Apparently, they don't use euros yet in Britain.
No, they don't.
Britain's not part of the European Union.
Well, I don't know that they're going to either. That's an interesting...
It's Britain and everybody else, apparently.
Yeah.
But here in the U.S., it's $129. If you purchased a G5 computer, which came out in September, you can get a $20 upgrade to 10.3. Or if you purchased a new computer or a retail version of 10.2 after October 8th, you can also get a
$20. And it's a Tuesday and you're standing on your head.
Well, no, just October 8th, the day it was announced. You can also get that $20 upgrade, which is upsetting some people who bought it, you know, October 7th.
Right.
Which would happen whatever date you pick.
Exactly right.
And the other major issue we're hearing on the news sites is that Apple is a little more prolific in updating its OSs than Microsoft has been. This is the fourth major version of OS X in 4 years. They're running about 12 to 15 months on average. And for some people, that $129 is a lot to spend every year. But you work it backwards, and $10 a month isn't too bad. And you don't have to upgrade if you don't want the new features. So it's not quite as bad as Microsoft, where some of the new programs will end up requiring the new version. And in fact, we were just reading over the weekend that Microsoft has cut back on the programmers for Longhorn to address more security issues in the current Windows.
Right, so we may not see Longhorn till the end of 2006.
That's what the current rumors are saying.
At this point, yeah, interesting.
So by 2006, it'll be 2008.
Yes, or something along those lines.
Yeah. Okay.
I have an interesting little news story out of lovely Buffalo, New York. And I know our signal gets to Buffalo, so I'd love to hear from you Buffalo folks and see what you might think about this. There is a small kindergarten through eighth grade charter school in Buffalo, New York, the Enterprise Charter School. Last month, they started using those RFID chips, those wireless ID chips, radio frequency ID chips that they're talking about putting in records and food and things like that.
That's one of the technologies that Steve Wozniak is working on.
Exactly.
That he couldn't talk about because they're working on it.
Right. But what they're doing is using RFID chips to track their students. Right now, they're recording the time of day students arrive in the morning. And in the next few months, he plans to use RFID to track library loans, disciplinary records, cafeteria purchases, visits to the nurse's office, students' punctuality for every class, and verify the time they get on and off the buses. The school uses passive RFID. They're activated when radio waves from the reader reach the chip's antenna, as opposed to active RFIDs, which require a battery. For Stillman, Gary Stillman, who's the director of the Enterprise Charter School, that K-8 charter school in Buffalo, New York, for Stillman, RFID is about accounting for whereabouts of his charges and streamlining functions. The charter school's 422 students wear small plastic cards around their necks that have their photograph, name, and grade printed on them and include an embedded RFID chip. As the children enter the school, they go up to a kiosk where a reader activates the chip signal, shows their photograph, they touch their picture. Time of their entry into the building is recorded. A school staffer oversees the check-in process. This whole thing costs about $25,000, and the tags are about $3 a piece. It's an interesting use of the technology. The question is it Big Brother, or is it keeping our kids safe? And we'll talk about that and a whole lot more in just a couple of minutes when we come back with me, Nick Francesco, Steve Ray, Ben Turpin.
Turchin,
I'm so sorry. Ben Turpin was a comic back in the 20s, and a great one, by the way. Back with Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Everybody, it's WHAM's health and fitness reporter Liz Bonus, and we want to invite you to pick up your free copy of our Lighten Up with Liz newsletter. If the summer weight isn't gone, the perfect time for pickup is the fall.
The Lighten Up with Liz newsletter brought to you by Robert Wesleyan College and Pinnacle Printers. Available at any KeyBank location in Monroe County, at Dr. Catapano at Brighton Campus Chiropractors, 2024 West Henrietta Road, Suite 5B, at Christina Breen State Farm Insurance, Ridge Road West in Greece, next to Friendly's, and at Grassroots Shoes, Frontier Commons, Jefferson Road, Henrietta.
You probably don't think much about how you use energy in your home. In fact, the little things you do or don't do every hour of every day affect your energy bills. Hi, I'm Rick Mason from RG&E. Here are some tips to make sure you use energy wisely during the heating season. Keep obstructions away from all heating units for safety's sake, but also to be sure the units heat efficiently. Turn down thermostats at night and when no one is home. Consider installing an automatic setback thermostat. Close drapes or blinds to keep the cold out and the heat in. And clean or replace furnace filters once a month during the heating season. It always pays to use energy wisely.
For more information on how you can be energy smart, visit RGE.com. RGE, always at your service.
Do you have the right truck? Does your truck come from the family of dependable, long-lasting Chevy trucks? Introducing the 2004 Chevy Silverado. Car and driver's best pickup for the last 3 years straight. Right now, there's a smart way to get into a new Silverado. Get a 2004 Silverado two-wheel drive regular cab work truck with Smart Buy financing for around $199 a month. That's $199 a month for 47 months with $1,853 down, 6.5% APR, and a 48-month payment of $8,761. Call 1-800-950-CHEV for residency restrictions and other details. Example based on survey. And if you're looking for something even more powerful, check out the available new power packs on select Silverado extended cab models. The 2004 Chevy Silverado. It's the right truck. See your local Chevy dealer today.
It's the Rochester Fall Holiday Arts and Crafts Show at the Dome Arena in Henrietta this Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. until 5 p.m. Over 150 award-winning juried artists and craftsmen will offer superior American handmade crafts. Choose from special holiday decor in wood and florals. Accent your home with traditional, contemporary, or country and folk designs. Add elegance with beautiful framed prints and breathtaking original art. Choose outstanding art glass and pottery for your home or that special gift. The Fall Holidays Arts and Crafts Show this Saturday and Sunday at the Dome Arena is the perfect place to start your Christmas shopping season. Gift ideas abound in booths filled with jewelry, clothing, household decor, toys, and much more. All at prices and quality that will bring a smile to your face. Bring a friend. Don't miss the Rochester Fall Arts and Crafts Show at the Dome Arena this Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. until 5 p.m. each day. Admission just $3.50.
Get to AutoZone during fall car care season and pick up some Prestone antifreeze. Flush and fill your car's cooling system and make sure it's ready for colder weather. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Listen to the Wham Morning News for the Good Samaritan Vehicle, a service of Monroe Muffler Brake and Service and News Radio 1180, WHAM.
Contact the guys the old-fashioned way. Use your telephone and dial 222-1180 or the Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Welcome back to Sound Bites with Nick Francesco.
Welcome back.
News Radio 1180.
Excuse me. W-H-A-M. My fault entirely. I cannot believe I talked over our announcer. I feel terrible. This is 1180 WHAM. This is Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Ben Turchin.
Not to be confused with Ben Turpin, the great silent comic. And
wouldn't have done very well in the radio.
We would. He would not. Actually, I don't know what his voice sounded like. A lot of them had, a lot of the old-time silent radio people didn't have very good voices. Yeah. We're gonna go to the phones
actually,
now.
Actually, I want to make a comment on your news story about the ARFID. One of the neat stories that I've read is, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago at Xerox Park, one of the big things was that you had your security and ID badge to let you in into the facility. But the facility was so huge, you may not have ever been at your desk. So they had this neat system set up that the telephone system knew where you were by your ID badge. And when the phone rang next to you, it was for you.
Yeah.
It knew where you were and routed the phone to wherever you were sitting.
Yep. I saw that at Cornell a number of years ago. It was pretty nifty. It's a pretty nifty technology. Frightening.
It isn't that new, but it's getting cheap. And that's one of the things that Woz was talking about with his Wheels of Zeus organization. He wants to get the receivers down to the $20 range.
Right.
So they can be affordable to put in you know, TVs and CD cases and whatnot.
Well, I mean, think about the fact that you could go... A lot of places have what they call hot box cubicles. You don't own a cubicle. You pay, you walk in the morning and you get a cubicle. It's yours.
Right.
Imagine sitting down at a cubicle. The system knows you're there. Up comes your desktop on the computer.
Yep.
Up comes your pictures on a little thing on the wall. The phone, if it rings, you know it's for you because it's in the right place. It just happens automatically.
Yep.
Imagine coming into your home and the radio turns on to your station.
Right.
Imagine sitting down in front of the TV and it comes on with your favorite channels programmed in.
There was a neat commercial a couple of years ago now, I think for IBM, a guy walking through a grocery store with a long trench coat on. And he kept taking things off the shelves and putting it in his pockets like he was shoplifting and looking around for the security cameras and shoplifting and whatnot. And then he goes to walk out of the store and walks through what looks like a big metal detector. And the voiceover on the commercial is saying all of the items in the store are basically tagged. So the scanner reads everything in your grocery cart, no more pulling it out of the cart, putting it on right. the tray. And letting someone scan, you just wheel your whole cart through the thing. And then the security guards, you know, goes, hey, sir, stop. Pulls the receipt off the list and hands it to him.
Yeah. And can you imagine? I mean, at some point, the theory is you can walk into a grocery store. They will hand you your list.
Right. In fact, there's a software now, grocery planning and meal planning software, where you can tell it what it knows what you have in your cupboard. You put in your inventory, and it tells you what you can fix for dinner. Or if you tell it what you want to fix, it will print you out a grocery list sorted by the aisles in your store.
Nice.
And then the next step, and in fact, Wegmans in town tried it at a few stores, is the online shopping. Your computer tells Wegmans' computer, I want this stuff. You pull up in front of the building, and a cart comes out with it in it.
Very cool. That's very cool. All right, we're going to go to the phones now. First, we're going to talk to Victor in Rochester, New York. Welcome, Victor. What's your question?
My son for school needs a Microsoft PowerPoint 2003. Now, I never even heard of it until last Friday. But I'm on a site right now called Price Grabber, and they have all different kinds of versions, and I'm not sure which one to get. One says UPG-V.
That means it's an upgrade. It requires that you already own an older copy.
Okay, I don't have that. Next one says ACAD-6.0.
That's the academic version.
And you must be an authorized academic purchaser.
So it looks like I'm going to have to get the full product of PowerPoint, and I was hoping to get away cheaper, but I guess I can't.
Well, now, if the school is requiring it, they should have it at the bookstore at the academic price.
Oh, at the bookstore. I never thought about that.
Theoretically. Yeah,
is your son in college or high school?
No, high school.
They should still have it available somewhere. They should have a way for them to get the academic pricing.
But the school should have a site license.
Well, you'd think so, except Microsoft is not very good at giving low-cost site licenses to educational institutions. They'll give a site license. It's just it's often above the means of
right.
smaller institutions.
And the full retail price of PowerPoint is like $300. And PowerPoint plus Word, which is word processing, plus Excel for spreadsheets, is part of the Microsoft Office suite. They're $300 a piece, or you get all three of them, plus Outlook email, for $500.
Right.
So they really penalize you for buying one program and not all four.
Right. So if your son specifically needs PowerPoint 2003, check with the bookstore. Now, there's also, of course, OpenOffice for free, or StarOffice.
PowerPoint compatible programs.
It's compatible, which means you can save files as PowerPoint and read files as PowerPoint. And that's free. OpenOffice is free. But if he truly needs to have PowerPoint, then check with the high school to see if they have the academic pricing available, or if they can in some way give you some sort of piece of paper that says that you're authorized to have the academic pricing from Price Grabber. You with us, Victor?
Still there?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll open my phone. The site that you just mentioned before, that's close to the PowerPoint. What is that one?
It's OpenOffice, and it's at openoffice.org.
Oh, that's easy enough.
Yep.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you, and you can certainly try that, and if he doesn't like it, it was free. What did you lose? And
nothing.
Then you can go on and get PowerPoint then.
Thank you.
My pleasure. For those of you who are contemplating buying Office, you should check out Open Office because it is, after all, a free product. It can't you don't lose anything by downloading it and installing it, and if you don't like it, then you go out and buy Office. If you're looking specifically, by the way, for Word, there are two ways you can go. You can buy all of Word itself for $300. You can buy all of Office itself for $500. Or you can buy Microsoft Works with Word for $100. You get a full copy of Word plus the rest of Microsoft Works for $100. If you don't need Word and you're willing to use the Word processor that's in Works, that whole package is only $50.
Now, I'm trying to find it now, but Microsoft does have an Office for student and teachers for Mac for $150.
Right.
I would assume they have something similar for Windows. I just haven't found it yet.
They might not.
That'd be neat, at least from the Mac side.
So he's diligently looking, but hoping he won't find it. I don't know whether or not we should trust you if you say it's not there. Our next caller is Dave from Canandaigua. Welcome, Dave. What's your question?
Well, one couple quick comments, and then my question. While you're at it, if you're going to be loading stuff up, why not load up Linux and get rid of Microsoft products altogether?
Well, that's a big jump for some people to make day one, but you're absolutely right. It's definitely a good thing to try.
It's easier than it used to be.
Yes, it is.
In fact,
if you want to try it, you can try Gnopix, Gnopix.
Yeah. The other thing,
Gnopix.org, and it's you download the ISO, which is the CD image. Use your burning software to burn the image to a CD. That's different from just burning files to a CD, but there will be a choice in one of your menus to burn an image. Burn the image, boot the image, and you're in Linux without ever touching your hard drive. So it leaves Microsoft Windows on your hard drive, no problems, but you can play around with Linux and see what, you know, how you like it. Now, it's going to load things slowly off the CD, but once they're running as fast as they normally do. I'm sorry, go ahead, Dave, your question.
Well, my other comment is for the previous caller, why does his son need any computer software if the purpose of school is to teach reading, writing, and arithmetic, I thought. But well, let's go on to my question.
Yeah. Apparently now they're teaching business presentations.
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh. Well, anyway, my question is, why is McAfee Firewall trapping an outgoing ICMP headed for soundbites.org?
That's one of the problems in running a firewall, is you can accidentally set it to be too paranoid and stop things you want to go through. The function of a firewall is to stop traffic. And it's up to you to set what you want allowed through the firewall.
Right, but I wasn't doing anything. This happened, on the 24th, and I haven't visited the Soundbites website for, I don't know, 3-4 weeks anyway. I mean, it was just kind of on its own trying to go out to Soundbites. When I click on it, it traces it, and it pings back to, you know, it gives me the IP address. And when I click on that, it comes up with the Visual Trace Soundbites.
How interesting. I don't know.
Have you downloaded any of the music, the audio files?
Boy, not that I remember.
Because some of those are linked. You can either download it, the actual file to your hard drive, or you can download an MP3 stream that would require an open connection to listen to.
Yeah, I'm kind of a curmudgeon. I tend not to do stuff like that, so...
Right. Well, that's a lovely question, and we'll look into that. I don't think there's anything going on in the Soundbites website, although I haven't checked it this morning.
You guys work for John Poindexter, right?
Yeah, exactly. We're tracking you. We're going to take a quick break now so we can definitely pin down where Dave is at his undisclosed location. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Steve Ray, Ben Turch, and me, Nick Francesco, all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Year after year, the top-rated morning radio show in Rochester, New York is the Wham Morning News.
1999. 2000. 2001.
The Wham Morning News is number one.
Number one.
Beth Adams, Chet Walker, Bill Lau, Kevin Williams, Bill Klein, Brad Davies, Gary Smith.
2002. 2003.
Always the top-rated morning show in Rochester. Make no mistake, it's the Wham Morning News.
You're out there, and you know who you are. Oh, you think you can hide, but you can't hide forever. One of these days, you'll break down, and then you'll see. It's not so bad. Then, like the rest of us, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. If you don't own a home computer, I'm talking to you. And I'm talking to you about the fantastic home computer package from Green Shield Computers. For only $499, they'll build you the perfect starter system, fully loaded with all you need for email, web surfing, home finances, digital pictures, music, movies, and more. It's powered by an AMD Athlon processor and is easily upgradable. Plus, you get Green Shield local service and support. With Green Shield, there's no excuse. Don't miss out on the fun, the convenience, the connections a home computer can provide. Give Green Shield a call and get started with your home computer. For you, for your kids, for your life. Green Shield Computers, since 1984. Call 544-9580.
Welcome to the longest-running serial in my life called the Savage State.
Israeli leaders have long supported regime change in Baghdad, but the Forward reports that some top Israeli generals worry that a disarmed Iraq means a graver nuclear threat from Iran. Former NATO commander General Wesley Clark is running for president. In an exclusive interview, he tells the Forward how his Jewish background shaped his views on issues from civil rights to the genocide in Rwanda. Surprising? Maybe even shocking? Not if you've been reading the Forward, America's favorite Jewish newspaper, is now America's hottest national news weekly, bringing you the news behind the news on the issues you care about most, plus our award-winning reviews and arts coverage. More than ever, we need to stay in touch, and there's no better way than reading the Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. Try it for 4 weeks free. We'll bill you for $24.95 for another 26 issues, and if you're not satisfied, write cancel on the bill anytime and keep the first four issues free. Call now for the Forward, 800-253-7800. That's 800-253-7800.
Do their show in a chat room. It's Sound Bites with Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Ben Turchin.
And this is Sound Bites. And Steve has some bad news for the Mac people.
Yes,
and some good news for the Windows people.
I did find the Microsoft Office 2003 Student and Teacher Edition is available for just under $150. It gives you Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and Outlook all in one package. And the interesting thing is because we were looking into this with the Mac version, resellers usually have to be specially authorized to sell academic software. But with this version, we don't. And in fact, the retailer is not required to verify that the person buying the software is academic, a student or teacher. It's up to that individual person to legally click the agree button that says that they are a student and or teacher to legally use this version of the software. So it's kind of nice, and it's hard to say that, that Microsoft is allowing this because they're usually...
That really hurt, didn't it?
Well, they've become very draconian in their network serialization procedures, is that programs will stop running unless you register them over the internet.
Yeah, but see, that has... What they're doing, they have a little dichotomy going on here. Because on the other side, they want students to be really familiar with Windows and Office.
Dare I say addicted?
Addicted, because, you know, give me your child before he's seven and he's mine for life. So if you get them early, you keep them late.
Yep.
That's one of the things that Apple did so brilliantly was with their academic programs and their academic stuff that they were doing back in the 80s and 90s.
Apple IIs in high school and even before that.
Exactly, and now Microsoft has invented that, too.
That's where I started.
Exactly.
A black Apple II made by Bell & Howell.
Bell & Howell,
yep.
With the handle on the back.
The handle on the back.
And the power strips. 1976,
I had one of those. I eventually gave it to my godson to take to school. He was the envy of everybody in his school.
Yep.
Very nice product. Okay, we're going to go back to the phones, and we're going to talk to Jerry from Greece. Welcome, Jerry. Are you there?
That's me, Gary.
Gary, sorry, yes. I beg your pardon.
Okay. I have a constant problem with connecting to the Internet.
Yes.
And I switched from Roadrunner to DSL.
Uh-huh.
And I'm still having a problem. Two different computers, same problem. When I was with Roadrunner, they changed the modem. I think they even changed the cable outside. Now with DSL, new computer running XP, I have the same problem. I cannot get the connection. I have to keep unplugging the modem, plugging it in again, and still no connection.
Does it drop the connection, or do you not get a connection ever?
When I first boot up, 9 times out of 10, it won't connect. I have to unplug the modem, plug it in again,
mm-hmm.
and it comes up. Once in a while, when I'm online, it does conk out.
How about the Ethernet cable between the computer and the
Everything's
modem?
Brand new.
Including the computer?
Including the computer, right.
Well,
this is happening on two different computers, one with 98 SE and one with now with the new one with XP.
Okay, if it's happened with multiple computers, multiple operating systems, multiple cables, and multiple methods of connection, then... Wow. That probably is going to leave you with just one thing. Where do you live?
In Greece.
Are you near power lines? Are you by a radio tower?
No.
Do you have poltergeists?
Apparently.
Apparently you do. Luddite poltergeists, if you're going to go that far. It really sounds like there's something...
About power.
That's what I'm thinking. It's either a power problem. Do you have problems with brownouts?
No. I've got a UPS.
I knew you were going to say that. Dad nabbit, Gary.
They told me to unplug it from the UPS, put it on a regular wall. But I did that.
No, that would
same
be
thing.
Just as bad. Or not. Oh!
Yes, anyway.
The UPS.
Yes.
What's connected to it?
The computer. Let's see.
But not the DSL box.
I don't think so.
Also, sometimes monitors and especially laser printers mm-hmm. are big power draws and can almost overwhelm the UPS. If it's like a marginal, you know, it's only 200 watts.
Right. If you've got ugly power in your house, mm-hmm. And you've got a laser printer and a big monitor and your DSL and everything else all running out of the same circuit. That can be the real problem. So try this. Your computer is currently in the UPS. If you can, if there's enough plugs and power in that UPS, add your DSL modem to it.
Okay.
And see if that solves the problem.
All right.
Because you're left with either you have some sort. Is your computer in a room where, say, outside up the wall are running? Are you in a house or an apartment?
House.
Are the power lines for the house running right outside the wall behind your computer?
Not right behind, but close behind.
See, that could be the problem. So start with plugging the DSL into the UPS as well as the computer.
Okay.
The next thing you want to try is moving the whole machine, say, 4 or 5 feet out from the wall, just to be safe.
All right.
You know, that's a test. Then you figure out how close you can move it in before the problem starts up again.
And then put up the Faraday cage.
Right, exactly. You can do it with paper clips if you want to. Make a whole bunch of them and hang a big paperclip tent over your computer. But start with the UPS and go from there.
Okay.
Okie doke.
Yep. Bye.
Thanks. And I got to say, Gary did the right thing. He had all the pieces together. He's tried a different computer, tried a different connection, tried a different cable. He did all the pieces that he had. That's the way to do it.
I wonder if the Roadrunner technician ever brought a computer to check levels with. Because the way that Roadrunner usually works is they send two guys, a cable guy that runs the wire, and a computer guy that checks the signals and makes sure that your computer's working.
Right.
So, and they typically have their own laptops to plug in and see what happens. So it's very weird that swapping computers didn't help and swapping providers didn't help.
Right, exactly. That's why it's got to be power or some sort of radio interference in his computer. What?
Very weird.
Oh, yes, we're going to... Yes, we are. Thank you, Ben. We're going to Ron from Rochester. Welcome, Ron. What's your question?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Okay. I'm running a Windows 98 SE. The problem is my icons are all frozen up. It was working one day, and then the next day they stopped. When you click on them, you can't open them up unless you went to the right-click mouse. It went the long way. I was told to reinstall Windows. I tried doing that, and it doesn't want to reinstall Windows. It keeps coming up with four icons to either try to click on, like communication and desktop schemes, and it doesn't want to install all of them. Now, I don't know which one to choose from, but I was trying to reinstall the entire Windows package and go from there. And I didn't want to have to format and start all over again.
Right.
Are you installing from the cab files on the hard drive?
I'm installing right from the disk.
Or from the CD. Well, what was that theory? We've seen this happen before where double-clicking stops working. And it usually takes a reload of Windows to fix it. It's something really weird deep inside of Windows because double-click is such a core function.
Exactly. But you can't even reinstall.
It doesn't want to. It keeps going to like four icons, you know, window schemes and communication and view videos. And, you know, I didn't want any of those. I just want to install the whole thing. And it doesn't want to seem to go either way.
What antivirus program are you running?
I'm sorry, what?
What antivirus program are you
running? Norton 2003. And it's updated automatically when I'm online.
Yeah. Have you run Stinger recently?
No.
You should.
Download
Stinger. It's at you'll find it listed on our website under if you scroll down on soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. If you scroll down on soundbites.org, you'll see I heard a website on your show. And click on that, and on the right will be an alphabetical list of all the files all the programs we've talked about. Find Stinger, download that and run it. And have it check for, and it'll check your whole hard drive for, I believe it's up to 32 now, the 32 viruses that will disable your antivirus software.
Without you noticing.
And although Stinger is made by the McAfee folks, it doesn't matter whether you're running McAfee or Norton, or it doesn't matter what your antivirus software is. So you can run it anyway.
Isn't the Norton supposed to stop all that virus from
coming? But there are some viruses that will sneak their way around any antivirus software and install themselves anyway, and that's what Stinger will find and kill.
Okay. See, everything else seems to work fine.
Right.
It's just the icons don't want to open.
Well, see, fixing the icons is going to require reloading Windows. The question is, the problem is, why can't you reload Windows? And the typical reason you can't reload Windows is there's some virus that's preventing you from doing it.
Okay.
So that's why I'm thinking if you run Stinger and check to see if there's a problem. If there is, then you need to uninstall Norton. Reinstall Norton, update it, and do a thorough test of your system.
Because what some of these viruses can do is turn off your antivirus, corrupt it, and prevent it from working, even though it thinks it's still working. So when you look at it, it says it's okay.
Okay.
Give that a try and let us know.
I'll give it a try.
Thanks, Ron. Thanks. I appreciate it. We're going to take another quick break, but we will be back in just a couple of minutes with Steve Ray, the estimable Ben Turchin, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Now leasing Fairdale Townhomes, Route 96 in Farmington. These beautiful, brand-new townhomes are convenient to everything. Just minutes to shopping, Canandaigua Lake, downtown Rochester, and easy access to the thruway. Fairdale Townhomes are nestled in a wooded setting just across from Finger Lakes Racetrack on Route 96. 2, 3, and 4-bedroom townhomes are ready for your inspection. Sign up now for the fantastic fall special until October 31st, which includes 1 month's rent-free, a free garage, and free cable for 1 year. Call 924-3060. That's 924-3060. Come home, rest, and relax in a beautiful new Fairdale townhome. Enjoy our fitness center, clubhouse, laundry room in each unit, cable television at a discounted rate, plus Fairdale is a pet-friendly community. Outstanding design, quality craftsmanship, and a wonderful location. Welcome home, Fairdale Townhomes,
Room 96, Farmington.
The Insurance Institute for Highway Safety, an independent organization that rates crash test performance, has released a statement saying, quote, "The Subaru Forester is the best small SUV we've ever tested. It demonstrates what can be accomplished when a manufacturer makes safety a priority," end quote. Strong praise indeed. The Subaru Forester is driven by determination to keep you and your family as safe as possible. It comes with more standard safety features than any vehicle in its class. And with the Subaru symmetrical all-wheel drive system, it works to help you avoid a crash in the first place. The Subaru Forester. Driven by protective instincts. Subaru. Driven by what's inside.
Now, get 0% APR financing on most 2004 Subaru models, including the Forester. Length of contract is limited. Subject to credit and insurance approval. Must take delivery from dealer stock by October 31st, 2003. See participating dealer for details.
Zip, zip, zip. Gotta fill her up fast. Fill my tank to the brim with performance gas. Heading down to the Diamond Shamrock. Drive in, sit back. Fill it up, baby. And be on your way now. Don't drive yourself crazy. Head for the Diamond Shamrock. Drive in, sit back.
Break out. Moving ideas forward.
Your ideas.
Her ideas.
Black and white or
color ideas.
Rethink color.
The Officio 1232 from Ricoh, a multifunction printer that delivers low-cost color without raising the cost of black and white.
Pay for color only when you need it.
The Officio 1232 from Ricoh. Moving ideas forward. How well do you
print, copy, scan, fax?
How well do you share?
Money Talk, driven by Bob Johnson Chevrolet.
News Radio 1180 WHAS.
The station is participating in a contest with other radio stations owned and not owned by Clear Channel Broadcasting Incorporated, both inside and outside of this station's listing area called Your Cash. This multi-market contest airs beginning October 20th through November 14th, 2003. You could win one of $165,000 cash prizes on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Friday, or one of $40,000, $10,000 cash prizes on Thursday. Listen weekdays between 6 a.m. and 11 p.m. Eastern Time for the contest trigger. After the contest trigger is broadcast, the 50th nationwide caller to 1-866-525 wins. That's 1-866-525-9467 wins. A total of up to 200 cash prizes may be awarded, totaling up to $1,200,000. See full rules for complete and specific prize description. No purchase necessary. Purchase does not increase odds of winning. Participants and winners must be legal U.S. residents, at least 13 years old, and reside in the participating radio station's total survey area. Winners are eligible to win only once per lifetime in a Clear Channel Radio nationwide and or group contest. Employees and immediate family members of Clear Channel Broadcasting Incorporated, other media companies, and their subsidiaries and affiliates are not eligible. Additional rules apply. For complete contest rules or where required by law, a list of winners, contact the main office of this station during regular business hours. Copyright 2003 Clear Channel Broadcasting Incorporated.
Hi, I'm Wham's Brad Davies, and I've got scores and highlights of your favorite teams on the Wham Morning News and 3 hours of sports talk up the dial on Hot Talk 1280 WHTK.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Got a computer question? Call the boys at 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco.
Where? I miss him every week. For now, I'll be Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'll be Ben Turchin.
Excellent. And then that makes us Sound Bites. And so we're going to, I think let's go back to the phones. And let's talk to Walter, calling all the way from Greece, New York. Welcome, Walter. What's your question?
Hi there, gentlemen.
Gentlemen?
Yes, indeed. Gentlemen, you are.
Oh, man. Them's fighting words.
All right. Well, comment and a question. First off, about the Linux CD?
Yeah.
Okay, I went to Knoppix with a K, Knoppix.com and .org.
Yep.
And the site is closed because apparently the European legislature is deciding upon the use of certain terms such as point and click.
Yeah.
And so therefore I was able to go to Knoppix.net.
Right.
And that's where I could go from Princeton University.
Right. And in fact, Knoppix.org actually has a semi-hidden link to Knoppix.net. Yeah, Knoppix, see, there are two main well-known front ends for Linux. Unlike Windows, which just has one front end, one GUI, there are two, KDE and GNOME, or GNOME. I don't really know how they pronounce it. I know they pronounce the G, but I don't know if it's hard or soft. And both of those are excellent. KDE is much more like Windows. And so Kinopix is the KDE front end, and Kinopix is the GNOME front end. You can get to either Kinopix.net or GNOME.org, or Kinopix.org, and create a CD which you can boot on your machine and run Linux without ever touching your hard drive. So you can play around with it and see what it does and see how things work and what's available. It comes with a complete Office system, which is OpenOffice. It comes with a web browser, comes with email, comes with instant messengers, comes with everything people use.
So I'm just going to be trying to have some fun with it.
Yeah, it is fun. Well, the legal battle is over really on software patents in the EU and doesn't affect us at all. We're still under the cloud of SCO, which seems to have no case but wants to talk about it all the time.
Yeah, and even AT&T is making rumblings about it since they were involved in the first Unix development back in the 60s. But that was all under federal grant from the Defense Department, which required them to release it to the public.
Right. And you know what? If worse comes to worst, we all go to FreeBSD, which already fought that same battle in the 70s or 80s and is known to be clean and free.
And I'm pretty sure that's what OS X is based on.
Free or one of the BSDs, but it's definitely all of BSD that works. And that has a Linux compatible
That was always one of the hallmarks to tell where you learned Unix. Whether you programmed in the open style with BSD at Berkeley, or the hard coded style with AT&T,
right? Exactly.
System 5.
Exactly. But you're absolutely right. And you know what? Until two or three or four or ten courts have all had their hands in this, I'm not going to worry about whether somebody thinks Linux belongs to them. I don't really care.
Excellent. Okay. Well, can I have my quick question?
I don't know. Can you?
Yes. All right. I'll give it a shot. It's 3 years since XP came out, and one of the things that stopped us from going from Windows 98 to XP was that we had heard at that time that XP would only run for 3 years because your license only allowed you to do that, and then you had to shell over more money to Microsoft in order to run it again for another 3 years. Is that true?
Well, they also expected the next version of Windows to be out by then, and that's what we were talking about earlier, Longhorn. It's now been pushed to at least 2006.
Right.
So they're going to have to change their licensing.
Exactly. That reason, the fact that they're a little late with the next version is one of the reasons they stopped naming Windows based on the year it was released.
Yeah, see, it's good and bad, like everything.
This is basically Windows 2001.
Right.
Or 2002.
Yeah.
But it's nice to know when your software came out. Oh, I've got Windows 98. Excuse me. But then, in 2000, well, my Windows is 2 years old. So, it's good to know when it came out, but then it's bad because it feels old.
Right. But you can always see when it came out. Just right-click on my computer.
But it's nice to be able to know, that Windows ME versus Windows XP, which one came out first? Well, you don't know until you look harder.
Right.
But Windows 95, Windows 98, it was easier.
Yeah, but Microsoft may want you to relicense it, but they haven't quite figured out how to make you do that yet. They are currently waiting for Longhorn to come along. They've got to do something. One of the problems Microsoft has is they have no new market. When you have 95% of the market, there's not a lot you can do to get new revenue.
Right.
You have to keep selling into the old revenue.
And we're seeing upgrade prices increase because of that.
Right. And since they can't get new markets, they have to keep banging on the old market. And until they can come up with a new version or enough new features to justify charging everybody who owns Windows $129, they're stuck. In fact, that's one of the reasons, I was going to talk about this in the next hour, but that's one of the reasons that Microsoft losing a little bit in their stock. They were down 7.96%. on Friday, and it's an interesting little problem. Although they're up a tenth of a percent.
Yeah, on the other side of that, you know, not upgrading to XP is the fact that they've stopped supporting Windows 98 and will not be releasing any more bug fixes or security patches for it. So it's almost that if you want to make sure that you're, you know, as secure as you can be with Windows, then you sort of need to be running the most recent version anyway. Although there was another article in Wall Street Journal yesterday that basically the title was, you want to stop fighting viruses? You know, buy a Mac.
Right.
Or you know, buy Unix.
By some version of Unix, whether it's Linux or whatever, and or a Mac, and you don't have viruses anymore. Microsoft basically has been dropping, and analysts are saying that it's the software subscriptions problem. People aren't subscribing although Microsoft did beat their first quarter earnings by 1%. Listen, we'll talk about this after the break. We're going to take a quick break. We're probably going to go on to news, and then we'll be back on the other side of the news with a whole lot more sound bites with Steve Ray, Ben Turchin, Nick Francesco, all of you sound bites on 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180, the Choice 1 toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180, or *1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Close. He was so close. There is no Dave Enright in the studio today. However, I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Ben Turchin.
And this is indeed Soundbite. So he got a good piece of it right, I got to say. That's nice.
But I still have to wait for Dave because the rhythm just doesn't work without the I'm Dave Enright.
The rhythm isn't that good about it. Now, before the break, we were talking a little bit about Microsoft and their financials. They beat their first quarter earnings estimate by a penny a share because they had better than expected revenue, driven by strong consumer PC sales. They said their second quarter and full year results could come in higher than expected. On the other hand, it seemed that Wall Street did not seem to agree with that. As of Friday, they were down 7.96%, although in after hours trading they were up almost 0.2%. Back up, but the problem is that the consumer side is where all the money's coming in, and on the enterprise side they're losing money. So it's an interesting little dichotomy, a little problem that they're having right now. Net, you know, Microsoft is still in really good shape, but it's currently the consumer side where they're making their money. On the enterprise side, they're not. They're losing out a lot to Linux, a lot to other, you know, to Sun and to places like that. And Apple is coming up strong. Coming up on the outside, I just finished reading Seabiscuit. By the way, if you want to read a really, really well-written book, Seabiscuit, the book, is a great book. I'm very impressed by it. So it's an interesting problem. Microsoft attributed their drop. They had a larger than expected decline in unearned revenue, which is an indicator of sales to business customers. Apparently, they earn money from consumers and unearn money from business customers.
I need more of that unearned revenue. Just give me money.
That's right. I don't need to earn it. Just give it to me. I'm not that proud. Microsoft attributed that drop to a number of factors, including poor forecasting and distractions. I love this sentence. Distractions with the viruses that broke out during the summer. In other words, companies are pretty porked off at the virus problem that's going on and are not jumping on the bandwagon for the next version as fast as Microsoft would like them to do so. And that's part of what that problem is. Before we get back to the phones, which we're going to do in just a couple of minutes, I want to talk a little bit about what goes on at our website, soundbites.org. And again, Francis would like me to remind you that that's Soundbites with a Y. Soundbites.org. Every week we have a poll. Last week's poll was all about iTunes for Windows. Apple finally introduced iTunes for the Windows system, and we had 311 of you voting. That puts it at number 34 on the all-time hit list. I want to thank each and every one of you.
And Apple actually released a patch to fix some of the early problems with that.
I don't doubt that there were some.
If you already downloaded it, go download the patch.
Get the patch, absolutely. Of those, 61% of you said you don't need it. Well, that's only because you don't know you need it yet. 22% of you said you want it. 6% of you have it. 12% of you said, where's the Linux version? And I have to agree with that. That would be kind of nice, too. But thank you for each and every one of you who voted. That's great. This week's poll is all about the increasing amount of spam. There's a, oh, great. I just had it here like 30 seconds ago, and now it's gone. A little spam question. All right. There was a poll this week. Oh, here it is. Excellent. A little thing from the Pew Internet, which is a think tank. People who just sit around and think all day for a living. That's kind of nice. And they think all day long for a fee. 25% of the people they did some sort of, I don't know, some sort of study. 25% of people said they were using email less because they were receiving so much junk mail. More than half of all emails are estimated to be junk. But of course, spam works because enough of you out there are actually buying stuff from unsolicited email to justify the cost of sending millions of messages.
Which is virtually zero. 10 million addresses for $50.
That's right. And all it costs you to send them is your internet connection. So the question this week is about that increasing amount of spam. And the choices are, I love it. I buy stuff all the time. And, it doesn't bother me much at all, or it annoys me, or it angers me. And, of course, the big one makes me dread opening my email. I don't know that I dread opening my email. I don't know how big this is for all of you. I have so many different accounts, and I have so many people who know who I am and where I am. I average well over 1,000 pieces of spam every single day. And some days it's 1,500, some days it's 2,000, but I average over 1,000 a day. Now, most of those I don't see. At work, we run a product called Spam Assassin, and that kills my, that throws it all in a special folder. That's how I know how many I get, but I don't have to see them. I just throw them away. And at home, I run Spamnix, which is a Spam Assassin insert for Eudora. And that actually pulls it up, puts it all into, I've set it up to go into my trash instead of into my Spamnix directory, which is why I know that, you know, every time I go to empty my trash, I've got another 1,000 in there. So maybe I have more. I haven't really paid attention. But I know that it's a real pain in the neck for everybody, and so I'm interested in what you think. So far, 132 of you have voted. I thank each and every one of you. I'd like to see about a zillion more of you voting. So far, the top choice is annoys me. That's 42% of you, followed by 24% of you who are angered. 18% of you makes me dread opening my email. That's closing in on the number given in the Pew Internet report. Followed by doesn't bother me much at all. 14 of you clearly on Prozac. And 6% of you are on something even worse. I love it. I buy stuff all the time. That's 6 of you. 5% of the vote, 6 people actually buy stuff all the time. Please, please, I hope you're kidding. Once you have, in fact, turned in your vote, I would love to have you go over to my website, asknick.com. That's asknick.com. And feel free to leave a little opinion on that spam. Interestingly, we don't seem to have had many things that were actual opinions on spam this week. A lot of things about Hamburger Helper and a lot of things about Kenny and a lot of things about, you know, everything that they talk about except the question, but that's okay. That's all right. I don't care. So the question is, how much spam do you get in the average day? And tell us a little bit of what you think about spam, but keep it, of course, clean. That's on my website, asknick.com, and there's a link in the little yellow box right below poll on soundbites.org.
It's a touchy subject, too, because I know people in sales that use directed emailing.
Yes,
as right. sales tool.
Right.
So it's it's and that's sort of where the do not call issue is getting hung up in the courts. Is it is used for good and legitimate purposes, but how do you balance that with individual security? Privacy issues.
Exactly. Listen, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll go back to the phones, and you can even talk about spam if you like. But got to keep it clean with Steve Ray, Ben Turchin, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Hollywood's best releases are at the Regal Cinemas, now offering the Crown Club Loyalty Program. Free membership, fast registration, earn free movies and concession items every time just for seeing your favorite movie. Gift certificates also available. They never expire and can be used for box office or concession purchases at over 400 Regal Cinemas nationwide. Stadium seating, amazing digital sound, senior specials, Super Saver discount tickets. Catch all the new releases at the Regal Cinema at Eastview Marketplace or Culver Ridge. See you at the movies.
Hello there, this is Bruce Williams. Now let's face it, there are all kinds of people out there calling themselves financial planners, but check their credentials. I want you to make the right choice. My choice, Mike Kazakis. Why? Because I know Mike. I know he speaks the language that you can understand. Hey, I can understand. He has the credentials. He knows his craft. Mike is a senior vice president of Morgan Stanley Dean Witter and a certified financial planner. He's been a trusted name in the Rochester community for over 20 years. Now, you've heard his financial comments on radio and TV. Mike can help you make decisions. Decisions that affect your lifetime. And he'll give you ideas to reduce your taxes if you need financial direction. Mike Kazakis is your guy. Line yourself up with Mike. Get the information. Work from a position of strength.
You can call Mike at 243-2454. That's 243-2454. Call Mike Kazakis, 243-2454. Morgan Stanley, member SIPC.
It's 1962. JFK is in the White House. John Glenn is in space. And 16-year-old Tracy Turnblad has a dream as big as her hair.
Hey, Mama, look around. Everybody's grooving to a brand new sound.
Hairspray, hey, mama, direct from Broadway. It's this year's Tony Award-winning Best Musical. The musical that answers the question, can a big girl with really big hair make an even bigger difference in the world? Don't miss your chance to see Broadway's great, big, fat, gorgeous hit. Hairspray. As New York Magazine says, so many numbers bring down the house, it's a wonder the theater is still standing. On Broadway, ticket buyers wait months to get tickets, but you don't have to.
The M&T Broadway season welcomes Hairspray, opening November 18th at the new Auditorium Theater. Tickets are on sale now at Ticket Express and Ticketmaster, or call 232-1900.
Original cast recording on Sony Classical.
It's the Rochester Fall Holiday Arts and Crafts Show at the Dome Arena in Henrietta this Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. until 5 p.m. Over 150 award-winning juried artists and craftsmen will offer superior American handmade crafts. Choose from special holiday decor in wood and florals. Accent your home with traditional, contemporary, or country and folk designs. Add elegance with beautiful framed prints and breathtaking original art. Choose outstanding art glass and pottery for your home or that special gift. The Fall Holidays Arts and Crafts Show this Saturday and Sunday at the Dome Arena is the perfect place to start your Christmas shopping season. Gift ideas abound in booths filled with jewelry, clothing, household decor, toys, and much more. All at prices and quality that will bring a smile to your face. Bring a friend. Don't miss the Rochester Fall Arts and Crafts Show at the Dome Arena this Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. until 5 p.m. each day. Admission just $3.50.
The clinic gave them death sentences, HIV infection or AIDS.
The health plan rejected her claim for it.
A lawyer says they can't.
An employer fired him for it.
A lawyer got the job back.
A landlord attempted an eviction for it.
A lawyer stopped it.
The clinic gave them death sentences.
Lawyers saved their lives. You have rights. New York lawyers protect them. Brought to you by the 70,000 members of the New York State Bar Association in cooperation with the New York State Broadcasters Association.
Toyota owners, get over to your Toyota dealer and get this feeling. The feeling of winning a $10,000 American Express branded gift card. Toyota's giving away 12 of them, plus 1,000 more worth $100 each. Just bring your Toyota into your participating Toyota dealer for service and enter. You'll get the very best service performed by Toyota trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts. Come in today and enter for your chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends October 31st. Void where prohibited. Open to legal U.S. residents who are valid licensed drivers and 18 or older. Void in Hawaii. Official rules available at Toyota.com/owners.
Lambs, Rush Limbaugh.
Not only
do I know I'm right,
I love hearing myself say it.
Rush Limbaugh, weekdays 2 till 5 on News Radio 1180 WHAM. 50,000 watts. Huh. I wonder how many gigabytes that would translate to. Welcome back to Sound Bites on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Here's Nick Francesco.
Yes, here he is. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Ben Turchin.
And this is Soundbites. And it's time to go back to the phones and talk to Joe in Buffalo. Welcome, Joe. What's your question?
Howdy.
How are you?
Well, the question I would have for that caller a ways back is, what sort of ICMP was he getting from your website? It's like, what was the type? Without that information, it's really...
Right. Well, it's actually an outgoing ICMP, so I'm not quite sure what...
I didn't quite understand that. What I was wondering, maybe Steve, you can help with this. I'm having a trouble where ever since the DHCP server included with Red Hat 8 and also in 9, when it hands out addresses to Macintoshes that we have in our LAN, for some reason, they get an address fine. They can do almost anything. However, name resolution is all futzed up because you type an address into a web browser, and it says, oh, I can't find that site.
Is the DHCP server also passing the DNS addresses?
Yes.
On...
In fact, it's only the Macintoshes that seem to be having the problem with receiving the DHCP information. Before, we had a server that comes with Red Hat 7.2 on there, and that was fine. But when we went and upgraded our DHCP server to the newer Red Hats, it stopped working spectacularly, unfortunately.
When you set up your Macs, did you input any information at all, or is it all coming from the DHCP server? In other words, do you happen to have, for example, did you put in the gateway information or the name of the DHCP server, any of that stuff?
I don't think so. One thing we noticed is my boss has a laptop that he takes between home and the office, and he has a cable router at home that gives out DHCP information, and he operates fine there with a Linksys, but in the office has problems.
You may want to check in the network control panel if there's anything filled in the DNS server box or the search domain box. I've seen cases where someone's previous service was in there. And basically they had forgotten that they had typed it in years ago.
Oh, so it's kind of like Windows. It overrides whatever you get by DHCP.
Exactly.
Yeah. So if you already have something typed into the name server address field, it will use that instead of what the DHCP server sends.
But that would tend not to explain why it would work with the one DHCP server but not the other.
Not the other, yeah.
Yeah, that's what stopped me too, but
because if it's someone else's DNS address, it should still work. It's impolite, but it should still work.
Right. We give out three servers in the scope. And Nick, by the way, I would have a vote for GNOME as well since it comes from GNU.
That's great, isn't it?
Great.
Great.
Yeah, I think it's GNOME as well, I think. Now, here's the other thing. Your boss on his laptop, does he have a proxy server set up?
I don't believe so.
I would still check his system, as well as the others. Maybe you have two separate problems masking each other.
Still wouldn't explain why the one DHCP server earlier version works and the later version kind of, like, somehow it's handing out information that a Mac can't grok, but all the rest of the systems on that network seem to operate fine with it. That's the puzzling part.
You might want to try going into the network utility and trying a lower level, you know, ping or trace route.
The pings, the trace route, that's the other interesting thing. Within a terminal window, if you, like, execute ping or host or trace route, those seem to be okay. Those seem to resolve okay.
By name.
Yeah.
So it's only a web browser that
it's like,
resolved.
Yeah.
Try a different web browser just to see.
Safari, Netscape.
Or Netscape, Mozilla, right.
Got several of them to try.
You could try deleting that browser's preference file. There might be something confused in the preferences and clear the cache, too. Maybe it somehow cached the wrong address for the DNS.
Anything it could be done for lookup D?
You know what? It could be a subnet mask problem, too.
If it thinks the DNS is on a different subnet.
Right.
Hmm.
Yeah. I would start checking around.
Since other TCP functions work, it's not the DHCP sending the DNS address. It's the web browser not reading
it. Right,
right. Well, subnet mask appears to be correct on the server.
Right. Well, like we said, if you can do pings and all of that stuff and you can't do web browsing,
there's
got to be something in the preferences for the web browser.
That's weird, but it's possible.
Well, it's got to be. I mean, otherwise nothing would be. It's an all or nothing thing.
Yeah, if DNS lookup is working for ping, then DNS lookup is working and the problem is somewhere else.
Yeah.
Probably, most likely. Ping your DNS and make sure that works.
Ping it
by number and then ping some website.
But what it sounds like is it's probably in the preferences for all the web browsers at some point. They were set up to fix a problem. And now that problem no longer exists, and they're fixing a problem that isn't there.
Maybe something in the proxy preferences.
Yeah. Anyway, try ripping out, take one of your machines, save the preferences off somewhere else so that they're gone, and restart it and see what happens.
Okie doke.
Let us know.
Sure.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I love it when they give us the tough ones. Our next caller is Joe from Rochester, New York.
Hello.
Hiya, Joe. What do you know?
Well, I guess I'm another victim from the upgrade saga here.
Uh-oh.
I've got an Athlon XP1600, formerly had 98, went to 2000, and now I'm an XP for professional. My son was playing an online game a couple days ago, and it went gray screen, which was different, locked everything up.
Mm-hmm.
And been trying to get it to boot up ever since. The first boot after it locked up, the name of the computer is Family Room on a Network. I'm running Roadrunner to a Linksys hardwired router on which is located in my den. And it said could not log on to Family Room domain. And I'm not running a domain. I'm running a work group. So I just ignored that, tried booting back up, got to the wallpaper. It told me that I needed to format the drive C, because the disk in drive C was not formatted, and gave me a dialog box. Yes, okay. No. I'm thinking, uh-oh, I got a virus or something.
So your master boot record. What is that?
MBR.
Yeah, so.
The format command with a /MBR.
Yeah, is that where it stays now?
Well, I finally just ignored it and hit no and got somewhat able to boot up into safe mode by just restarting it, going into safe mode. Everything was okay then. Managed to boot back into administrator. Tried getting it running. It looked like it was running okay. And now I am in the process of doing about a 15th or 20th boot today. And it said I finally got it. Looked like it was running. And it said I have an update available. So I said, well, I might as well load the patches because it was a security update. So it went through its automated online update. Right in the middle of it, it said, NT loader generated an error. Do you wish to send the report? I said, okay, I'll send the report. It sent the report, and screen went black. Rebooted again, and now there's all sorts of files missing. And I'm in the recovery console now as I've been listening to you guys on the phone. Up to loading C_1252.nls and going through the fat finger process of finding it on the CD and decompressing it and putting it back
the directory that it's missing from. I don't know if there's an easier way of doing this, except just writing down each individual file. Every time it boots, tells me another file is missing.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that that was where it blew up when I was doing my update.
Yeah. It sounds like you compounded several problems on top of each other. And unfortunately, now that's where you are.
Yes.
And I think this will work, but it is going to be tedious for you.
Well, it's been. As I've been listening on the phone, I've been finding I'm up to about 15 or 20 files now, one at a time, writing them down, booting, and it only gives me one, and then it stops. And I replace that, and it boots, gets a little further, finds another one, and stops, and I go back and forth.
There's a couple of easier things we can try first that we'll get to after the break.
Right, we'll be back, and don't hang up. Stay on the line, Joe. Back in just a couple of minutes with Steve Ray, Ben Turchin, and Mina Francesco on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Balanced, and the other side of the story.
I applaud you for taking on this interesting topic.
The truth is what's going to work.
This is the most right you've been all week.
But I want to let you know you're 100% right.
Excellence in broadcasting.
Stick to what you believe is right.
That's all I have to say, and I really appreciate you.
Catch the EIB Network.
You have now reached the safe other side.
Weekdays 2 till 5, exclusively on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Don't you dare get off the air ever.
There are things that grow more beautiful and valuable with time, like Stickley Furniture and the million-dollar selection of the finest Oriental rugs directly imported and brought to you by Stickley Audi and Company, now through October 27th only. Come to Stickley Audi and Company at Eastview Mall and save 55% to 70% off suggested retail on more than 2,000 hand-woven masterpieces from Pakistan, China, India, and Tibet, including arts and crafts, tribal, traditional, and contemporary patterns. Plus, a large selection of the finest Persian rugs, specially priced. From scatter sizes and long hallway runners to extra-large sizes and collectible silks, you're sure to find the perfect carpet at this special sale. Consult with Stickley Audi and Company's Oriental Rug Expert and a knowledgeable designer on staff and bring home a treasured heirloom at substantial savings. This Oriental Rug Sale will end October 27th, so hurry in for the best selection. Stickley Audi and Company, Eastview Mall, Victor.
The Salvation Army Thrift Stores. You know them as great places to find clothing for the whole family all year round. And at great low prices. Well, Halloween is just a few days away, and you've got to get costumes together for the kids. And have you seen the prices at the specialty stores? Pretty scary. But not at the Salvation Army Thrift Stores. They're a goldmine of super affordable costume ideas. With a few dollars and a little creativity, there's no end to the possibilities. And with 10 locations in Rochester, Greece, Irondequoit, Canandaigua, Geneva, Dansville, Cornell, Newark, Batavia, and Bath. You won't spend hours in the car looking for just the right thing. The Salvation Army thrift stores are convenient and filled with terrific costume ideas. There's even stuff for grown-up Halloween costumes, too. And as always, your donations to the Salvation Army are welcome and tax-deductible. Call today to arrange a pickup. 235-2769. Or look for any of the Salvation Army drop boxes throughout our community. Have a safe and happy Halloween.
If you're age 50 or beyond, the best present you can give yourself is a reality health check. Get a bone density scan, a colonoscopy, and if you're not already taking the calcium supplement Caltrate, now's a good time to start. You see, Caltrate not only benefits your bones, it could be good for your colon, too.
The same Caltrate shown in a clinical study to help stop bone loss may also help reduce the risk of recurrent colon polyps.
So schedule that reality checkup, and if you're not already taking Caltrate, start. It's never too late for Caltrate.
Homeowners, are you tired of painting your house every few years? Then stop this endless cycle of painting forever with vinyl siding from Sears Home Services. Vinyl siding from Sears is virtually maintenance-free and never needs painting. Call now for a free in-home estimate. 1-800-225-5991. Not available in all areas. Products and services provided by a Sears authorized contractor. License number available on request. That's vinyl siding from Sears. 1-800-225-5991.
Start your NFL game day with Wham! It's the NFL Today, a complete preview of the day in the NFL. Sunday at 11 on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
From PCs to Macs, these guys can help with any computer question you may have. So call the boys now at 222-1180, the Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180, or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, once again, here's Nick Francesco.
Indeed, I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Ben Turchin.
And Joe, are you still on the line?
Still here.
We still have Joe on the line. Listen, Joe, we decided during the break that we're really bored with your question, so we're just going to... Oh, wait, no. We do have an answer for you, we think.
Great.
Maybe.
Well, something at least to try. Can you still get into Windows Safe Mode at all?
No.
It
just locks up and tells me you can't find files and just hangs.
So that's gone. Yeah, we were going to suggest running SFC, the system file checker, but you need to at least get to safe mode.
Yeah, I'm booting off of the CD again right now, trying to load another file.
Yeah, what you can do when you're going through the system CD is start the install process. There are two different installs. The first install you come across will give you a brand new system folder and make you reinstall all your programs again because it gives you a new registry.
Right.
There's a second recovery or reinstall.
Repair. I forget what the name is.
Yeah, Dave knows this better. Mm-hmm. There's a repair option somewhere along.
Yeah, when I hit to repair a Windows XP installation using the recovery console.
No,
there's R, and that's where I have been.
There's one farther on than that.
Okay.
That will reinstall Windows on top of itself. So you get all the files back, and it keeps your registry so you don't have to reinstall all your programs,
too. Yeah, that's what I'd like to do.
Now, the assumption here, of course, is that it's not the registry that's munged up.
Right.
So try that. Don't hit that first repair thing. Go into install, and you'll get another choice for repair.
Read the screens very, very
carefully. Very carefully.
One of them says you will need to reinstall all your programs, and you don't want that one.
Right.
If you read them all, if you read the screen very carefully, you should be fine.
Okay. I'll try that. My next question, just in case I have to go through and wipe it all and start from scratch, is there anything I have to do, any hoops to jump through to authorize XP again?
Yes. You will likely need to reauthorize XP.
And that requires a call to Microsoft.
Because it will pop up and say this is already registered and you cannot register it again.
Okay.
So you call Microsoft and tell them what you had to do to reinstall your system, and they'll probably give you a new code.
Oh, that's fun.
Exactly.
Okay. That's what I'm that's why I'm trying this. If it was just the old 2000 or 98, I would have installed it again, but it's this, you know, online authorization that's kind of got me going down this path.
Right. And this is part of what's angering people is, you know, it's understandable Microsoft wants to stop people from stealing their operating system. I have no quarrel with that. And they need to do something to stop the theft. I understand that. The problem is the only thing they seem to have come up with, and I don't have a better suggestion, the only thing they seem to have come up with is to treat everyone like a thief.
Right.
And that's what bothers people. Like I said, I don't have a better answer than that. I wouldn't know what to do if I were running Microsoft.
Wasn't there was a big thing in China a couple of years ago where Microsoft, along with the Chinese government, raided a couple of illegal manufacturing plants that were making copies of Windows. And Microsoft was hoping it was going to be a big blow to piracy. Well, apparently the story they put out was that the Chinese government kept them all. And now that's what they're using.
Yeah, exactly. So at any rate, I'm sorry we don't have a better answer for you, but it's really going to require a call back to Microsoft.
Well, that's what I was afraid of. I'm walking on a carpet full of old upgrade boxes.
Yeah.
My debt is loaded with them.
Yeah, I'm sure.
All right, well, I appreciate the effort, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good luck, Joe. Sorry. I hate to say that, and it is, some people say, well, they're treating us like criminals. I don't know a way around it, you know? Like I've said before, Microsoft is in a bind now. They can't make any money from new sales because there aren't any new sales. So they've got to do it by upgrades. If they don't charge for the upgrades, they don't make any money. If people steal their software, they don't make any money. So the choice is treat people like thieves, in the terms that I hear, or go out of business. What are you going to do?
And we've seen how the cycles have run over the last 20 years. You know, the first programs, you know, were in a drawer next to the computer if you wanted when you used it.
Right.
And then Bill Gates came along and said, no, you have to pay for it.
Right.
So he started it all.
Yeah, it's his fault.
But then the early copy protection schemes that didn't work and software got stolen anyway. And then for a few years, pretty much everything was public, or was open and unprotected, and that didn't work either, and things got copied. So, you know, they've tried both ways, you know, letting, and in most cases, you know, most people are honest and legal and will buy the software they use. But, you know, there's a significant percentage in
according. Well, the real question is, what is that percentage?
Right.
And, you know, and if it's a significant enough percentage, I can see that they need to do what they're doing. If
right.
it's a small enough percentage, let it go.
Well, the Software Publishers Association, which is the group of software publishers, has...
thank you for clarifying that.
The association takes reports from the publishers who claim they are losing billions of dollars a year in stolen software. How they get that estimate was always the question. The old story about Lotus 1-2-3 cost $500.
Right.
Because four out of every six, or four out of every 10 copies were stolen.
Right.
So they had to raise the price to cover those four they weren't getting paid for.
Right. The theory is it would have cost $300.
Right.
If it.
How they got that? Probably by surveys. You know, 10 million people. You know, do a survey. 1,000 people are using Lotus 1-2-3. Well, we only sold 400 copies.
Yeah. Right.
So what's going on here?
Good question. Yeah, I don't know. It's a tough thing. You can see it from both sides. You know, I'd love all software to be free. On the other hand, there's Linux.
Yep.
Where all software can be free. All you have to do is download the new version and go.
And the Linux programmers are making their money, you know, selling things that they write in other languages for other OSs, probably.
Well, that's exactly right. And a number of companies are making their money on support.
Yep.
As opposed to on sales. And for a lot of people, it's a hobby, but we'll see. Anyway, our next caller is Bill from Irondequoit, New York. Welcome, Bill. What's your question?
Good afternoon, and I can't imagine that even Microsoft would consider you guys thieves ever.
Thank you so much. I love
Ever.
To hear that.
I have AOL.
Oh, I'm congratulations.
and a lot of times I'm downloading from places like Walmart's and other catalogs and looking at images for clearance sales and things like that. Well, half of the time when I'm going through that, everything's working nicely, and I'll switch to another page to get some more images, and all of a sudden I have code on my machine, which is HTTP 1.1, which I'm sure means a lot to you, but the screen just fills with that, and I have no more images.
Yeah.
And then no matter what I do, I can't get the images back. I can't go back to the, you know, back or forward or anything, and I just have to, you know, forget it and go to something else. Why is that?
The problem is it has several layers to it.
Mm.
The first layer is that AOL is not an internet service. AOL is their own proprietary service. They have their own proprietary software. You cannot get onto AOL without using AOL software.
I understand.
And they have their own content that they want you to use. AOL actually existed before the internet became commonplace for the general populace.
Right.
So AOL gives you links to the internet. And the problem is there's 50 million AOL subscribers, and we've been trying to figure out how many people are online at any given time. And it's a million a second.
Yeah.
We're thinking.
Right.
So anytime you go outside of AOL, when you go to a website, you're using AOL as a conduit. AOL is sending you to the internet. So you're getting in line behind 50 million other people for your request to come back. So in the bottom line is, when you use internet pages, it doesn't always work either speedily or well to go out to the internet, come back from the internet through AOL to you. And the code you're seeing is the web browser displaying the web page in code format rather than in graphical format.
Somehow it's missed that this is a web page. What happens is when you load a web page, all you get is text. You get HTML code.
That's what I'm getting.
And normally the web page will say, oh, this is HTML code, and I should interpret it into a page rather than just display it. Somehow it has missed that, and it's usually the fault of the other end or something in the middle, which, as Steve tells you, in this case is AOL itself.
Oh, so there's really nothing I can do about it.
Well, what you can try doing to minimize it is use a different browser. Once you connect to AOL, minimize AOL and then open Netscape or open Mozilla or open IE independently of the AOL browser. Because that's been one of the criticisms of AOL for several versions now is that the web browser inside of AOL isn't that sophisticated, and it's typically several versions behind what an external browser would be.
Right.
I went into Internet Explorer, and I just unchecked under preferences everything that had to do with HTTL, and I thought, well, HTTP, and I thought, oh, that'll solve the problem.
Well, no, that makes it worse, actually.
Yeah, you want to see HTTP. That's the Hypertext Transfer Protocol. Uh-huh. That's what displays a web page. So you are looking at HTML execution. So it sees the code that says, you know, Ahrefs link and shows you a link.
Right.
So it's showing you the code instead of executing the code.
Yeah, I thought that's what it was doing. Yeah. I just thought maybe there's some way that I could have a preference item and I could get rid of the code and get back to the picture.
No, well, and this is it. Just refresh, you're going to have to run something else.
Okay.
Thanks. Listen, if you're on the line, stay on the line. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Steve Ray, Ben Turchin, and me, Nick Francesco, and your phone calls on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, on 1180 WHAM.
If you're thinking about retirement or already enjoying it, consider making your home at Seneca Towers, offering a number of pleasant, affordable homes for people 55 and older. We offer a long list of amenities. If you're on the go, we're on the major bus lines. Plus, we have a wide range of activities scheduled monthly, including trips and parties. And if the weather keeps you from going out, you can enjoy our fitness center, hair salon, and convenience store with good friends just down the hall. Utilities are included along with 24-hour maintenance and security. To learn more, call Carol at 467-3727 and ask about our rental specials. Apartments shown daily, Wednesdays until 6. At Seneca Towers, you won't just find a place to live, you'll find a home. Seneca Towers, above it all. Furnished and unfurnished one-bedrooms are now available with unfurnished units starting at just $408 a month.
Sign a new one-year lease on a one-bedroom apartment by November 15th and receive your first month's rent free.
Oh. Oh. Have you discovered the secret of the Big O? Overstock.com?
The Big O.
Yeah, Overstock.com. The Big O, the online outlet where you can save up to 80% off list price on thousands of items.
Like what?
Like designer apparel for women, men, up to 70% off. I mean, imagine saving 70% on a designer Italian handbag.
I'd love that.
And not only that, Overstock ships your entire order for only
$2.95. $2.95, really?
Yeah, that's right. Shipping for only $2.95, no matter how large the order on electronics, furniture, plasma TVs, bedding, it's delivered right to your front door for only $2.95.
Wow.
And I'm not done. Overstock has all the best-selling books, priced 25% below Amazon, along with thousands and thousands of your favorite movies, music. It's all priced to save you money.
Oh.
Oh, you said it. Oh, the Big O. Overstock.com. Share the secret with a friend.
Money Talk, driven by Bob Johnson Chevrolet.
Where can you find over 4.5 million parts for all major brands of home appliances and lawn equipment, no matter where you bought them? Sears. Where else?
Listen to the Wham Morning News for the Good Samaritan Vehicle, a service of Monroe Muffler Break-In Service and News Radio 1180, WHAM.
Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve is here every Saturday from 12:20 till 2 to answer any and all computer and computer-related questions. Now, back to Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Ben Turchin.
And this is Soundbites. We told you we'd go back to the phones when we came back, and we did not lie. We're going to talk to Craig, who is, I hope, pulled over on the side of the road in his car.
I'm pulling over as we speak, Nick.
That's what I like to hear.
You know, and I don't mean to make this sound more difficult than it is, but I've been in the software business 15 years, and I'm no fan of Bill Gates either. But I got to tell you, it gets old when I hear people complain about the operating system or the licensing scheme, when I can tell you at the corporate level, the amount of theft of the software I sell is incredible.
Right.
And if I were trying to write software where I had to go back and support 4, 5, 6 previous versions of my software, the quality, which is good, not great anyway, and this is a company as well known as Microsoft.
Yep.
And finally, if I had a million people out there whose sole goal in life was to take Linux apart and look for backdoors and code problems and security problems,
yep,
you'd be in the same place as Microsoft. You got to give those guys a break.
Absolutely.
Well, then
I mean,
you
yes.
can't come in every day and say, people who can't turn a PC on should be downloading Red Hat. It's craziness.
No, I completely agree. If I gave you any other impression, I apologize. I completely agree. A lot of people hit Microsoft as, you know, being the big bad wolf, and that's partially because they're such an easy target. You know, they're stuck between a rock and a hard place. If
absolutely.
Apple, you know, took the big plunge a number of years ago and said, all you people on the old version of the operating system, sorry.
But, you know,
but Microsoft can't really do that.
Well, look at Apple's history, and I think we both know well enough to go. 20 years ago, Apple could have been Microsoft.
Yes.
And Steve Jobs and the rest of the people on the board didn't see the future as clearly as Gates and Ballmer and
well,
Allen.
Didn't see the same future anyway.
Yeah, they thought IBM was the enemy, and Microsoft was this little tiny company who didn't matter.
Right, exactly. No, you're absolutely right, and I hope I've made that clear. People think I hate Microsoft, and I don't. I fully understand that they're doing the best they can given the constraints that they're stuck with.
And I got to tell you, XP is a huge improvement over the previous versions. And, I mean, I bang on it 12 hours a day like you guys do,
mm-hmm.
you know, doing the 30-page spreadsheet that I hate to do. And the stuff is pretty darn good.
Yes, it
now,
is.
Now, I hope they never buy another piece when they're competing against me.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it really is, especially at the consumer level. It's darn good stuff.
That's one of the jokes in the industry is that every programmer wants to get bought out by Microsoft. They want to write something so new and revolutionary that Microsoft will buy it, make them rich, and then Microsoft handles all the rest of the support.
Exactly. Exactly.
Absolutely. And
Craig, we have no argument with you at all. You're absolutely right.
I tell
right.
you, our brand name is as recognizable as Microsoft, and as soon as Microsoft moved into our space with a free version of a competitive product,
mm-hmm.
you could hear a collective gulp
yep.
for the 5,000 people in our company.
Yep. I don't doubt it. I do not doubt it.
I appreciate that then, Nick. I just want to make sure that's true because I almost turned the radio off, but I said, no, I should call first.
I apologize if I gave a different impression. I really, people seem to have gotten, I don't know where they got that impression years ago, that I hate Microsoft. The reality is I don't. I understand that they are between a rock and a hard place. I understand that they are doing the best they can given where they are. And I understand that they produce really good products, and they produce them well. They just have, they're a huge target. That's a problem that they created it. So should we feel bad for them? That's your choice. But the reality is that they are a huge target and that they're doing the best they can with what they have. You know, you might say, you know, they should be giving away updates because they write crappy code and they should be giving it away. Well, you know what? You give it all away, and when you're looking at another 3 or 4 years before the next version of the software comes out, you're out of business. So what's the point of giving away software when you're not around to sell the next version?
I tell my teenagers every day, if you download a song or steal a program, why not go to the 7-Eleven and steal a six-pack of beer? It's exactly the same
theft
thing.
Is theft. Get over it. Exactly right. Theft is theft. I don't care what you call it.
Exactly.
I don't care if it's easy to do on a computer and therefore maybe a little different. No, theft is theft is theft.
Somebody needs to get paid. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you, Craig, and thank you for helping us clarify that because I really don't want people to think that, there is no easy answer here. Microsoft has created a huge company that's partially created a huge problem for them, and they're doing the best they can to deal with that problem. I fully understand that. And, would I love to see them give everything away for free? Yeah, absolutely. Would I love to see them never have another security hole? Yeah, absolutely. The reality of life is that those things are not going to happen, and it's not because Microsoft is the big bad wolf. It's because Microsoft is a company in the real world, and they have to deal with the real world. Get over it. Our next caller is Nick from Penyan. Welcome, Nick. What's your question?
Howdy.
Hi.
Let's see. I have a Dell laptop running Win98, and just recently the background wallpaper that I put up is in a fluorescent green, and apparently so far, once it warms up, that goes away and becomes the normal white background. but I suspect that the video card is failing. Since it's a three-year-old laptop, do you think that there's any chance that I could get a different video card? This is just a 4-meg video card.
The real problem here is that 99% of all video on a laptop is built into the motherboard.
Pretty much everything on a laptop is built into the motherboard.
Mm-hmm. Right. It is. I don't know of a Dell laptop that has a plug-in video card. If you're lucky, this one might, but you'd have to talk to a Dell rep to find out. It's really unlikely. Hmm. It may not be, here's the other part of the problem, it may not be the video card, it may be the LCD screen.
Hmm. Okay.
If you plug an external monitor in, do you have the same problem?
I haven't tried that yet.
Try that, and then you'll know which it is. In either case, it ain't going to be cheap.
Yeah, well, you know, it's probably best to just get a new one for what it costs to fix this one.
Exactly.
Yeah. Do you have time for another question?
Very quick.
I know that it's okay. Here's an XP system, 1.5 gig, again a Dell, but this is a desktop, and with different users running Norton 2002, but continually updating that. On one user, I'm not getting the screen that says it's updated to the latest files, and when I update, then it says you have the latest files, but it doesn't change the date. Run Stinger on it, and gone through the rest of that. When I go on as administrator, it is showing the proper date, and do a full scan on there, and still coming up with nothing. Stinger, the latest version of Stinger, still comes up with nothing on there. What would my next place to look would be?
Preference file, maybe. Uninstall and reinstall. Or maybe you have to be administrator to see all the details.
Well, but the other users see all the details correctly, right?
Well,
Make a new user temporarily and see what happens.
Okay. Yeah, it seems to be working differently for just one particular user. And, I try to update it. It's supposed to automatically update, so... but this just
as the administrator, have you done a thorough scan of your entire system?
Right.
You have?
Yes, I have.
With Stinger?
Yes.
And with Norton?
Yes.
Then it's probably not a virus, and it's probably some form of preference or just a glitch somewhere along the line.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so uninstall and reinstall.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, okay. Thanks.
I think Norton, say that.
Norton might even have a repair option where it not quite as annoying as full uninstall.
Right.
Okay. Thanks a lot. I love your show, guys.
Thank you so much. I think we've got time to get in one more call. That would be Gary from Rochester. Welcome, Gary. What's your question?
Yeah, thanks a lot. I got a quick question for you, and yep. I know you don't have much time.
Yep.
I'm just running XP with Roadrunner, and I'm trying to run AOL. I don't know why, but I am. and the new version of AOL does something that's annoying to me, and I'm trying to turn off, and AOL won't tell me how. When I'm on the XP sign-on screen, underneath my username, it tells me how many mail messages I have waiting to read from AOL, even though I'm not signed on AOL. And I'm just trying to find out how to turn that off.
That's one of the AOL Start Center preferences or... companion bar preferences. It's one of the extra programs that AOL installs. There should be something in your the system tray for AOL.
Right.
And check in the preferences there. It's companion preferences or Start Center preferences, something like that.
There you go.
It actually does log on to AOL and check how many messages you have left.
Even before you've logged on. Nice.
Right.
We're done for another week. I want to thank Steve Ray and Ben Turgeon for keeping us online. Next week, I believe we're on at the regular time, and we'll see you then. Vote in the polls, give us your opinion, and we'll see you next Saturday on the world's greatest computer show, Soundbites, on 1180 WHAM.